Good morning. My name is Ed Hollihan, and this is The View From Here. Willie Mays died on Tuesday, and so did part of me. He was 93 and the last of his generation of truly great baseball players. Jackie Robinson, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Al Kaline, and a few select comrades played the game as no one else could at the time. They were just better than the rest. And Willie Mays might have been the best of them all. There were three center fielders in New York City of my youth. Duke Snyder played for the Brooklyn Dodgers, Mickey Mantle patrolled center field for the Yankees, and Willie Mays was the center fielder for the Giants. Mays was the best hitter of the bunch. He was the best fielder. He was the best base runner. Mays did it all and did it all better than anyone else. And he knew showbiz. He understood that professional sports at the dawn of television was entertainment. It was big-time entertainment. The vast majority of team owners were afraid of television. They were quite sure that if baseball were available for free on TV, no one would come to the ballpark. They simply could not foresee a day when revenue from attendance at games would finish a distant second to the money generated by media and merchandise. Mays came up to the big leagues when baseball was still king. Professional basketball was a novelty, and professional football was runner-up to college football. In time, of course, football and basketball would catch up to and surpass baseball. TV suits them perfectly. Football and basketball have a game clock. Baseball does not. If a football or a basketball game should go into overtime, it might add 30 minutes to the total time of the game. When a baseball game goes into extra innings, you have no idea when it will end. It could be tomorrow. Now, TV hates foggy endings. TV lives on a schedule. But TV had arrived, at least for Willie. He was truly entertaining. Often enough, running from first to third, his hat would fly off as he was rounding second base. The whole world, myself included, thought that the colorful occurrence was a happy accident, that Mays was just so fast that he would run out from under his hat. He waited until just a few years ago to tell us the truth. With his characteristic smile, he admitted proudly that the clubhouse man, the equipment manager, would fix his hat in such a way that it would come off when he was running. If he lifted his head, just so. The gathered press smiled knowingly as if they knew it all along. They didn't. None of us did. Willie was a genius. He came to the big leagues in 1951. He was passed over by all the American League teams because, well, he was a Negro. Baseball was dominated by white gentlemen in the front office and Southern white men on the playing field. The National League, starting with Jackie Robinson, was in first and deepest, employing men of color. The National League signed Jackie Robinson and Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and Frank Robinson before the junior circuit realized their unabashed racism would cost them at the box office. Imagine that, passing on Willie Mays because, well, just because. He scored more than 100 runs in 12 consecutive seasons. His 7,112 putouts in the outfield is still the all-time record, even though he retired 50 years ago. He had over 3,000 hits and 660 home runs. He played on 24 All-Star teams. I could go on and on. He was incomparable. This is not the first time I'll admit to growing up a Yankees fan. The Giants and the Dodgers were hated rivals. We would face one or the other team six times in the World Series during the first decade of my existence. If it was World Series time, you could count on the center fielder being named Snyder or Mantle or Mays. Well, those days are gone. The game is different. So when Willie passed the other day, I was reminded of how lucky I have been to see him play. He was, quite simply, the best.